Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, we are connecting once again with Juan Royf. Hopefully this will be a clearer line. Juan, do we have you on?
Hi, I'm here.
All right. So you were speaking to us about the qualities that define someone who supports mental health and well-being in the workplace.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's usually a person with a fair amount of empathy. Oftentimes you get it's someone who has been through something or another and just sort of knows what to look out for. And what's good is, you know, encouraging that and acknowledging it actually goes a long way, because these are the guys that's going to help us create an environment where this becomes every day. Notice when someone's struggling, listen without judgment. They usually tend to promote a healthy and respectful environment and behavior as well. And they lead through example. They're the guys doing it. As I said, empathy and their everyday actions show it.
Yeah. And why is it important to distinguish between normal stress and harmful stress when building a healthy work culture?
Well, your normal stresses, you can also call it use stress. It's kind of run-of-the-mill, everyday type stuff. And we more or less need it, because it's something that will help us to actually push ourselves just that little bit. Whereas this stress, especially where it's not processed, especially where it's not dealt with, it tends to, shall we say, pile up. And then any kind of stress will take some of your coping mechanisms, some of your resources. But the more they pile up, the more they start chewing away at your mental, your physical, your emotional energies. And obviously, if it goes on for long enough, it's going to get to a place where we break, where there's just too much.
Yeah.
And so dealing with it, having that ear to talk to, just sometimes it's just as basic as saying, you know what, I'm not having a good hour or day. That actually makes a big difference.
That's very interesting that something as simple as that can make such a difference. And I think it is important to be able to discern and tell the difference between the two, because again, one of the ways that we dismiss people, I believe, is by the whole idea that, well, everyone has bad days, everyone goes through hard times. And the problem with that, I guess, is the fact that there are sometimes someone is going through something that's more than just a hard day. Sometimes it's deeper than that. But when we lump all of it together, I think we really put people in a bad space.
You know, we're actually doing all of that at the moment. If anyone's having a day, anyone's saying, oh, you know, I'm kind of at the end of my tether here. I'm finding it difficult to concentrate. At the moment, I want to say since October, you get one on, oh, it's end of year.
Yeah.
I actually said this last week to someone. I said, if one more person says, it's end of year, I'm going to use it myself. Because, yes, it's true. Maybe our ropes are a little bit shorter being near the end of the year. But that doesn't mean that that's my problem today. I might really be going through something. I might really have had a horrible morning. I'm really stressing about that very weird noise my car was making just before I turned it. So no, that's not year of end. That's, I'm very worried.
Yeah.
End of year, or, oh, don't worry, everybody has one. Yeah, that's not nice.
Yeah. And what practical habits and tools can employees use daily to manage their stress more effectively?
Well, one of the things I suggest to people always is get rid of that little question.
Okay.
And that little question, what if?
Okay.
And create the biggest, most awful scenario in the world, in our minds if we allow what if to sort of take hold.
Sure.
I mean, I actually just did a session with someone on that. And, you know, imagine when you were little and you were lying in bed and mama just turned the lights off and said goodnight, and you're looking there and there's that corner. In the corner there, there's a something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we're little, it becomes a monster.
Yep.
It starts blinking.
Yeah.
That put your adult brain into that scenario and start asking what if.
Mm-hmm.
Boss calls you to his office. Hey man, please come to my office real quick.
Yeah.
What if I'm in trouble?
Yeah.
What if they found out that pencil that I by accident put into my pocket 3 years ago?
Yeah.
What if? So when you get to the boss's office, you are this little ball of stress. And whatever he or she says to you, next moment you're in tears. And they're like, whoa, I just asked for the report. It's okay, you can read it later.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, the release that it wasn't all the horrible stuff that I thought it was going to be. Same with day-to-day stuff. You know, what I say to people is don't ask what if. As much as you possibly can, work with the facts.
Okay.
Don't throw breathing out the window. Just take a couple of deep breaths. Come back to the facts. Try and deal with the fact that that doesn't work. Ground yourself first. Literally, go and do something else. Go and, I don't know, count the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Say all the couple.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Grounding. And then come back to, okay, let me go to the boss's office. Let me hear what he wants to say. And ask yourself, did I do anything wrong? No, I didn't. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that first time the car's making that noise? Yes. Do you know someone that can perhaps help you? Hey, yes, I've got that friend. I haven't seen him in a while. Let me give him a call. That kind of thing. So in other words, process it, deal with it, even if it's little by little, as opposed to making up or trying to suppress it where it then just starts growing and growing and growing.
Right. Right. So trying to ignore it, just like literally just ignore it and hope it'll go away, that's not the answer. Because it's about taking a break when you need to take a break and then come back to it when you've settled those panicky feelings.
I don't know if you've noticed, but if you ignore it, if you say to yourself, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
5 seconds later, your brain's
back. Yeah.
But what about that thing?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but me personally, the third time my brain goes, what about that thing? I'm ready to break something.
Yeah, tell me about it. For sure, for sure. Now, how can organizations recognize people who promote well-being without making the recognition feel, you know, intrusive or uncomfortable?
One of the easiest ways is, you know, don't pinpoint the person. Say, we've noticed that there's a better energy around the office. We've noticed that this particular division is much more positive.
Mm-hmm.
We see that. So you notice the behavior. You celebrate the behavior as opposed to the old way of doing it. Please come to the front and get your 50 Rand Clicks voucher or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, strangely enough, I'm overgeneralizing a lot here, but a lot of those guys don't want that. They know who they are.
Yeah.
It's not they want to, and they might start trying to. So literally,
hello, Juan.
Celebrate.
All right, our line seems to be deteriorating there. Can you hear me clearly? We can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, as I say, celebrate the team or the division or the behavior or noticing change instead of pinpointing the person. That's kind of sort of the easiest in a lot of ways.
Okay. All right. That makes sense, especially like you're saying, for a lot of those people, that's just who they are. They're not doing it for recognition, and the recognition might make them feel uncomfortable. Right. And how does celebrating mental health advocates inspire others, and how does it strengthen that culture of support and resilience?
Well, again, it's, you know, when I see, I might tend to do, not always, but a lot of so if I see that happening, or I've experienced it from someone, a while ago there was this idea of paying it forward, and a lot of people still do that kind of thing. It helped me, so let me help this guy. It's a thing that will sort of grow because of example. It's a thing that will, the more it becomes part of the daily routine, the more it will become part of the culture. I hope that makes sense. And the more people realize that these people are there, the more they feel comfortable and aware of thoughts and feelings and other people. And so it's kind of like a wildfire. It starts working because it's working. I know that's not silly.
Right.
But the ripple effect that will gradually shift the entire working environment. And the opposite is true as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The more you have nastiness and short and curt sort of behavior, the more you're going to start seeing that. It's actually something, I'm speaking of a little bit of experience, it's actually something we started here at Vista. We sort of said, you know, if you walk past someone, just smile and say hello. That's it.
Okay.
Don't have to start a conversation. And suddenly, we've been doing it for a while now, but our patient feedback, we keep getting this patient feedback of, oh my goodness, everyone at Vista is so friendly.
Wow. Wow.
So, and after a while, you don't realize it anymore.
Yeah.
But a new person that walks through the door, and they get greeted by four different people with a smile, and they walk out of there, when they don't work there, but they walk out of there with a smile going, what the hell am I grinning about? Oh, it's because everybody was walking.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's this ripple effect that just takes over if you allow it to.
Love that. Love that. And I think that's something that we can all try and implement in our different spaces where we are. Let's all try that. Thank you so much, Ron, for coming through. Another beautiful, beautiful conversation. I look forward to chatting with you again. Have a great Monday.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.